What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back to our continuing coverage in the trial of Adam Montgomery, the father of missing Harmony Montgomery, standing trial on charges unrelated to his daughter's presumed death. That trial coming up in the fall. Let's go to the courtroom now for segment number two on day number two of this trial.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the parties have agreed to a stipulation. That stipulation is that the last conviction that was referred to with regard to this witness was prosecuted by the office of the Hillsborough County Attorney. Okay, so the stipulation is that the last conviction that was referred to was prosecuted by the office of the Hillsborough County Attorney. You may proceed.
Small follow-up question.
Yeah. Say that again.
That's not the same office as the Department of Justice.
No, I don't believe so.
A few months ago, Attorney Smith asked you, made a statement that we're giving police what they wanted. With regards to you agreeing to sit down and speak with police, on that, you feel that you were giving them what they wanted?
No, I was just giving the information I had.
So you didn't make up this information for them?
No.
And I guess the last question that I have for you is with regards to you being here today. You were subpoenaed to be here, correct?
Yes.
Correct. So you didn't have a choice to be here, did you?
No.
And with regards to that, on this, you're currently at the New Hampshire State Prison?
Yes.
All right. What unit are you housed in?
Right now, PC.
Okay. And explain for the jury what PC is.
Protective custody.
When were you placed into protective custody, before or after you were subpoenaed in this case?
After I was subpoenaed.
Sustained. Approach. Sustained. You may restate the question. Rephrase the question.
Thank you. Mr. Bell, is it fair to say that you do not want to be here today?
Sure.
I think I'm just going to leave it at that. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything further?
On cross-examination, the question was, it was the Hillsborough County Attorney that reached your deal, not these prosecutors here, right?
Right.
But it was the Manchester Police Department that was involved in talking to you about Mr. Montgomery, right?
We'll say that again.
It was the Manchester Police Department that talked to you about Mr. Montgomery.
Right? Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. We'd ask this witness to please be excused from the subpoena service.
Any objection?
Yes. No. Wrong.
All right. I'm going to have you stay right there for just a moment, Mr. Bell. It's 10:30, just about, so this is a good time for our mid-morning break, so we'll take 15 minutes. I'll see you back here at 20 of. You may remain seated. Right. Everyone else, please rise for the jurors.
Okay, before we get started, there's a microphone right in front of you.
Okay.
Okay, and so if you could just pull that a little closer to you. Okay, so you might want to get a little closer to it. I just want to make sure that we're making a clear record. Everything's being recorded. Can you start by saying your first and last name and spelling it for the record?
Michael Sullivan, M-I-C-H-A-E-L-S-U-L-L-I-V-A-N.
And how old are you, Mr. Sullivan?
42.
Where do you currently live?
In East Hampton, Massachusetts.
And who do you live there with?
My wife.
Any children?
5.
And prior to living in East Hampton, Massachusetts, Mass? Prior to living in East Hampton, Mass, where did you live?
Manchester, 620 Somerville Street.
Did you receive a subpoena to be here today?
Yes.
Would you have been here without a subpoena?
Yes.
You mentioned that you lived in Manchester on Somerville Street?
Yes.
How long were you there?
I want to say 3 years, 3.5 years.
And when you lived there, who were you living there with?
My wife and kids.
I want to turn your attention to late 2019. Were you living back on Somerville Street in Manchester back on,
yes.
in late 2019? And where were you in life at that point in time?
Just prior to that, I was living on another part in Manchester, and I was doing construction, and I started taking pills, Percocet, and then after that, I just became an addict. I started doing like heroin, and I would do cocaine, and you know, I just became an addict. Same time, it's like looking back on it now, you know, it's like it's like a lifestyle, you know. It's like, you know, you get so wrapped up in it that like you don't understand that it revolves everything you do in, you know, in your life at the time, you know.
Do you remember around when that addiction started?
Right before I had moved to Somerville. So, you know, I think I was 37, 38.
What year would that have been around?
15, maybe, 2015. 16, somewhere in there.
Your wife, you mentioned you lived with her in Somerville Street.
Yeah.
Was she aware of this addiction?
Not for a long time, you know. Not for a long time. Because she's never done, like, any drugs or even smoked or drank or, you know, anything like that. So, after I, like, you know, it gets to the point where you think you're hiding it from everybody, but really, like, everybody knows, and you're kind of just lying to yourself. So, once my wife confronted me about it, you say you're going to fix it, you lie, you know. Usually it takes you hitting, like, rock bottom, what happened to me, you know.
When was rock bottom for you?
I had gotten in trouble. I was worried about losing my kids, you know, and my wife was taking the kids and leaving, and you know, she got tired of broken promises and was gonna just take my kids and leave.
And was that around January of 2020?
Yeah.
Objection is sustained. I'll let the answer stand, but caution the state. No leading questions, please.
Do you remember when you hit rock bottom?
It was early 2020.
Prior to that, what was your drug of choice?
It started with Percocet, and then it went to heroin, you know, or fentanyl, either or, you know.
Heroin or fentanyl?
Yeah.
Are you sober now?
Yeah.
How long?
18 months.
18 months sober?
I went to a facility, and then I also go now daily to a place in Mass where I get treatment and I do meetings still, so.
And I think you said earlier it took you getting into trouble to get sober.
Getting into trouble, but it was more like, you know, getting sick, you know, and then like I don't think you really think about yourself as much because you're destroying yourself, but like at some point you kind of open your eyes and see everybody around you and realize you're like destroying them too, you know.
And I noticed you just looked down when you said that. Is this something, this period in your life, is it something that you're proud of?
No.
So back to late 2019, did you have a circle of friends?
I did. I had like a big house, you know, so like my house was like probably half of this place, the bottom, my cellar, and it was huge. So I kind of just had like a revolving door because, you know, like when you're like, you justify everything you do, and then when you like start doing drugs, you're like, you know, you get sick, you get really sick if you don't have them, you know, and I mean, you get hot flashes, you sweat, you shake, you can't control your bowels, you don't sleep, you know, and you have agonizing pain, you know. So for like a lot of people, you know, not that it's an excuse, but like some people are addicts and they get to the point where they just don't want to get sick, you know. Like people do get high, but you know, like the thing you really don't want to have happen is to get sick, you know. And so I would have everybody at my house, you know, and then like, I guess like you think they're your friends, and I guess you think you're being their friend because like I would give them drugs, they would give me drugs, and like, you know, like I wasn't being a good friend then, but.
So you mentioned.
You know, you tell yourself that.
You had a lot of people that you would trade with, and they thought, you guys thought you were friends. Who were those people?
I had a lot. I had, you know, I had Adam, I had Ish, Kimmy, Amber. You know, I could name 50 people.
You mentioned someone named Ish.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the full name of that person?
Ishmael Garcia.
And how long did you know Ishmael Garcia for?
I knew Ish. He was the person that I had met in Beach Hill. He's the person that I got started doing it.
And so you had a drug connection with him?
Yeah.
You mentioned Kimmy. Do you know her name or full name?
She's like a really good person. And she's one of those people that, like, you know, you meet some people you see, like, that are doing drugs, you know, they're easy to...
Sustained.
So, Mr. Sullivan, my question was, do you know what Kimmy's full name is?
Oh, I'm sorry. Kimberly Frayne, I think.
And how did you know her?
Like I said, she was, like, you know, I had met her from... like she had called when her car went missing, and she would come over all the time, but like Kimmy was just someone who, like, you know, you an easy target, you know, like an easy target to
sustained.
Your Honor, I'd request permission to lead
approach.
That's how long I knew her for.
Earlier you said soft target. What does that mean?
Approach.
Mr. Sullivan, you also mentioned Adam. Who is Adam?
Adam is sitting at the defendant table. He was somebody who, he was the person who came over to the house. You know, we would did drugs, gave each other drugs, you know, same thing, just an addict knowing an addict.
And how'd you meet Adam?
Manny had come over, and we were hanging out, and we all did drugs in the bathroom, you know?
So you just mentioned someone named Manny. Do you know Manny's... Is Manny a nickname?
Yeah.
Do you know his real name?
I think it's Hector.
Okay.
Ayala, I think, or something.
Back to the defendant. So you met him through Manny.
Yeah.
And how long did you know him for?
About the, probably about maybe 16 months, somewhere in there, you know, I don't know. Maybe in the same time frame as Kimmy, you know, it was kind of the same group.
And so there was a drug connection with the defendant? Do you know what his drug of choice was back then?
Crack. And like he would get sick if he didn't have, you know, heroin too.
How often would you see the defendant?
I mean, once he started coming over, it was like, you know, everybody kind of came over daily. You know, it was like I let my house become a drug house, you know.
Your house became a drug house? Did you ever go to the defendant's house?
Once.
And do you remember where he lived?
On the west side. I don't know the name. I just know how to get there. You know, you go over the bridge to the west side. You go past, like, the Applebee's and that plaza on your left and take a left up the hill. And his street is on the right, about midway down.
Are we talking about here in Manchester?
Yeah.
Do you remember who he was living with at the time?
His girl and his kid.
Do you remember his girl's name?
She worked at Dunkin's. I know. I think it's like Kayla or something like.
So you don't remember her name?
I'm not sure. Yeah.
That's fine. Did you ever do drugs with her?
One time.
And was that at your home?
Or that was at their home.
Their home. Besides that one time that you did drugs with her, did you see her more than that?
I mean, only like if, you know, he was stopping by with her or something like that, but it didn't really, like, you know, I spoke with her, you know, or like, you know, it was just that one time that we spoke at the house.
So again, I want to focus on late 2019. Back in late 2019, did you become aware of an incident involving stolen guns?
Yeah.
And can you tell us about that?
So, like I said, you know, like if you know people that aren't used to, like, you know, aren't like, are beginner drug addicts, then a lot of times you can, like, borrow their car, or because they're just starting out.
So I'm going to stop you there, Mr. Sullivan. At some point you became aware of stolen guns.
Yeah.
Do you know whose guns were stolen?
Kimberly and Chris's.
And those are the Ferrains?
Yes.
At some point after learning about that, did you have a conversation with the defendant?
Yes.
Tell me about that conversation.
Well, at first it wasn't with him, like, we were at my house, and, like, so I'm not having it, just.
So I want to focus on the conversation you had with the defendant, not with others.
So there was a conversation that was had at my house, and then when we were driving, you know, we were getting high, and he didn't have any drugs, so I was giving him drugs. And then he was saying that his girl was going to be sick, so I gave him some more. And then he did that too. So I said, hey, like, I'll give you some more, but let's go to your house so I can make sure that she gets it, because so she doesn't get sick. And he was like, all right. And we had there was a conversation that happened at my house, and on the way over there, we spoke about that. The conversation that just happened at my house was about Kimberly having cameras, and Adam said, I know she's lying about the cameras, you know. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, I know she's lying about the cameras. He's like, because I'd already be in jail, you know.
Okay, so let's back up. There was a conversation at your house, and who was present for that conversation?
I mean, there could have been 12 people there at the time, but I know it was me, Kimmy, and Adam, because Kimmy had, like, tried to say something to his girl, like, that, you know, like, I didn't know at the time if she was or wasn't, but, like, had said, I have cameras, and you know, I guess his girl, like, got upset or, like...
And so, were you...
Can we approach for a moment? Go ahead.
So, Mr. Sullivan, there was a conversation at your house. Was there a conversation at your house?
Yes.
And Kim Frayne was there for that?
Yes.
And the defendant was there for that?
Yes.
And obviously you were there for that?
Yes.
Did cameras come up in that conversation?
Yes.
You leave your house right after that?
Well, actually, me and him had gone and started getting high, and then after I had given him stuff, and then I gave him stuff for his girl, he did that, and then that's how we ended up going to his house, because I said, hey, I'll give it to her, you know. Not that I was, like, doing a good thing at the time.
So I just want to unpack that, and then we'll move on from there. And so, before we do, if you didn't hear something yourself,
okay,
or unless I specifically ask, so I just want to hear, I just want to ask about what you heard and what you saw, okay? So, you and the defendant were doing drugs,
mm-hmm.
And he said he needed some for his girl?
Yes.
He said she was drug sick?
Yeah.
Okay. And so you gave him, did you give him stuff for?
Yes.
Okay. And he ended up doing that as well?
Yes.
And what had you given him?
Heroin.
All right. And so did you have a concern at that point?
Well, the whole, you know, like, at the beginning he had said his wife was sick. And, like, not that, like, you're a good person for giving anybody anything, but, like, if you've been sick, you don't want anyone to get sick. So, like, I was like, you know, and as awful as it sounds, like, when you're doing it, like, if you get sick, then, you know, everything is shutting down. You're, like, you know, you're sweating, shaking, your stomach hurts, you can't control your bowels,
Was your goal to...
And what happens is, if you take just a little bit, it all fixes. Everything, like, within moments, you're, like, back to normal, you know? Just with a little bit. So I was going to go over there and just give her a little bit.
And you wanted to make sure she got
sick, but I'm not, like, I wasn't doing her any favors by giving her any. I'm just saying that that's what I did, you know?
Your goal was to make sure she got it.
Yeah.
Okay. So did you leave at some point with the defendant?
Yes.
And how did you leave?
In his vehicle.
Sorry, did you say
in his vehicle?
In his vehicle. And was there a conversation in his vehicle?
Yes.
And can you tell me what the substance of that conversation?
We were having the conversation downstairs between him and Kimmy that I overheard. Then when we got in the car, he was laughing because he was like, she's bullshitting. I know she don't have cameras, you know? He's like, because if she had cameras, I'd be in jail already. Talking about, because she was saying that she had cameras the night that her gun got stolen. Guns got stolen.
Okay, and what's your understanding of the guns that were stolen?
From all the people, like, my understanding is that she had given handguns, like, she said that, I don't know if she said they got stolen or not, I just know that she had given handguns to, like, Manny and Ish, you know, and then that her assault rifle was stolen.
All right. So we're back in the car with the defendant.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you go from there?
To his house.
And was there another conversation with him at his house?
When we walked in, you know, he had told his wife who I was and then what had just happened, and then she started telling me how much she disliked.
Sustained.
So I don't want to hear what Kayla told you, or his girl, sorry, told you. I want to hear what he told you.
He just, when we were on our way over there, he didn't really say much. He knew why we were going over there. And then after we had that conversation when we got there, he, like, was introducing me to his girl, you know?
Okay. And did the subject of the cameras come up when you got to the...
Yes.
...to his house?
Yes.
Did he say anything in response to that?
No, she started talking about how much she didn't like. Okay.
Sustained.
He went during when we started discussing the conversation we just had at my house. He was going into the back room to get the works, or like if you're getting needles, you know, and stuff. And because, and then when he was going in the back room, he said, we were talking about that conversation we had. And then he said, I got it right back here. He's like, I got it in the back room, you know?
Okay, and at some point during that conversation, did you see the firearms?
No.
At any point after you found out about the theft of the firearms, did you see them?
Yeah. Yes.
When was the, was this one time, multiple times?
The time that he came over to my house, and then I actually didn't have, like, he had come over, and I think he thought, like, he was going to be able to trade it. I don't know what he thought, but he came over and got out of it.
Sorry, Mr. Sullivan, my question was, did you see the guns one time or multiple times?
I saw the assault rifle once.
Okay. Was there another firearm
I believe,
case that you saw?
I believe he brought, I don't know. But I believe he brought a shotgun over and he just had it and was showing everybody. But I'm not.
When you say he brought it over, over where?
To my home.
So you mentioned an assault rifle and you mentioned a shotgun. Did you see those rifles or those firearms at the same time or
no.
Those separate times?
Separate times. That, like, I knew that it was because the, like, from what I recall, you know, there was four bullets, like, on the side of, like, the shotgun. That's why I knew it was, like, the shotgun. And then when I saw the rifle, like, he had gotten it out of the car, and there was, like, a sheet over it, but he had the stock and the barrel sticking out, and he was walking up to my house. And I said, no, you can't, you know, because, like, it was broad day, and he looked like Rambo coming up, up the driveway with, like, just a little sheet over it, you know.
At any point, did the defendant offer you the firearms for sale?
When that day that he had come over, you know, he was talking to me about this, if I wanted it, and I said, I don't even have, I'm like, I'm going to get sick soon. I don't, like, I rarely didn't have drugs, so, like, I said I didn't have any, and he was like, you know, when he had asked me if I wanted it, and he's like, that's all right, he's like, I can get rid of this, you know, and he's like, he had a buddy that he could get rid of it to.
Okay, and so the conversation that you're describing right now, you said you didn't have any what?
Heroin.
Is that what he was offering the gun to you for?
That's what he wanted to trade. He wanted to trade for anything. If I had, you know, coke or heroin or anything, you know. But I didn't have nothing.
So he tells you, it's okay, I can get rid of it.
Yeah.
And this is at your house?
Yeah.
What happened next?
So I tell him, he talks to somebody and he says, hey, I got a guy that's coming over and he's going to pull up and I'm going to give it to him. And I said, move your car out of my driveway. I had a big parking lot next to my house. And I said, will you go into the parking lot and not in my driveway? So he went out and it's really like there's a fence and here's my door. And like maybe from me to you is where he parked, but it was out of my driveway.
Okay, so he moves his vehicle.
Yeah.
And that's after telling you that he has someone that's coming?
Yeah.
What was your understanding of what that person was coming to do?
He was getting rid of the gun.
And which gun are we talking about on this occasion?
The assault rifle. Like I say assault rifle, Like, I don't know how they go, but I know it wasn't like the, you know, hunting deer rifle. You know, it was like a, you know, like a stock and like a an assault rifle. I don't know.
Did you see what he did with that rifle that you just described?
Oh yeah, like, I was like, as awful as it is, like, I was glad that he was doing what he was doing because, like, I didn't have any drugs. So then he's like, Mike, he's like, come with me. He's going to give me money and stuff for it. And I said, all right. So when he showed up, we both went into the parking lot and I got in the back seat. And, you know, after he got hit the gun, he was in the front seat.
And when you say he was in the front seat, who's he?
Adam.
Okay. And then you mentioned he said, come with me. The defendant said, come with me.
Well, he wasn't saying come with me. He knew, like, I was not feeling well. So it was more like I was, like, right when you get it, will you give me some, you know, like so I can feel better type thing.
So it sounds like you were sick at that point. Was that... would you call it dope sick? So you're in pain?
Yeah.
And he says, come with me. Did you go somewhere with him?
But you should just go through the pain, you know?
Okay. Did you go somewhere with him?
Yeah, I went to the car.
And we've talked about this. You regret a lot of the decisions you made back then. And you're not that person anymore.
Right.
Sustained.
So you went somewhere with him?
Got in the car.
Did the car leave the area?
Nope. We sat right there. He said here. I gave money. Adam reached back, gave me stuff so I could take some real quick. I get back to him, and we left.
And you said he told you he was going to get money and stuff?
Yeah.
What does stuff mean?
Heroin.
At any point, did you hold either firearm?
No.
Do you remember being arrested on January 14th of 2020?
Yeah.
And do you remember providing a statement to law enforcement?
Honestly, like, I don't, just like with the, you know, like, the movies you guys gave me and stuff, I don't want to look at any of that stuff. I look like, you know, I'm like 110 pounds. I didn't want to do any of it.
Do you remember
to be honest, you know?
Do you remember providing a statement back in January of 2020?
I'm sure I did, yeah.
Do you remember being asked if you saw the guns?
I'm sure they asked me that. I mean, like, I know that, I'm just telling you, like, I know that.
Do you remember being asked if you saw the guns?
I know what I know. Huh?
Do you remember being asked if you saw the guns?
I'm sure they asked me that, you know.
Do you remember saying, I held them, I held the AR and the shotgun?
I don't remember saying it. The shotgun, like, that night I might have held it when he had the gun with the four bullets, because I remember it was like a big deal at the house, but I don't remember holding them. I might have, you know. Wasn't really too much I wouldn't have done at the time.
So, Mr. Sullivan, obviously, a lot of time has passed since the events that you're describing. Do you think that your memory of those incidents is better back then or now?
I think I just have, like certain things that I remember 100% clear, you know?
There are certain things you remember 100% clear?
Yeah, and I'm trying to, like, only say them, you know? Like, that's what I was trying to say about, like, you know, the shotgun thing. Like, I thought I remembered him coming over, but I can't say that 100% true. I don't know that it was like him with it, but I believe it was at the house and we were all there. So Like, it's disingenuous for me to say, like, it was definitely him with it, you know? I know for a fact about the, you know, that's what I'm saying, like, the assault rifle and us getting in the car and doing all that, like, you know.
Okay, and so your relationship with the defendant back then, did you know his first and last name?
No, I knew his first name.
And what did you believe his last name was?
I didn't know, I didn't care.
So when you gave your statement in 2020, did you know the defendant's last name at that point?
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know when I... He told me in a conversation once.
Yeah. When you gave your statement in 2020, did you know his last name?
I'm not sure. You know, I don't know if I said his last name or not. I don't know. Like, this is... Like that?
And that's fine.
Thank you, Mr. Saldanar.
Have any other questions for you? The defense attorneys may.
Good morning, Mr. Saldanar. How are you?
Good.
Do you remember me?
Yes.
I'll introduce myself again. I'm Caroline Smith. How are you?
Good. Nice to see you, Caroline.
When you were talking about with the prosecutor about the January 2020 interview and seeing a movie on it? You're talking about a video?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. All right, so let's go back. That January 2020 interview, did you re-look at it or anything?
No, I haven't looked at anything, even the stuff like they gave me for today. I didn't look at them either. They gave me DVDs to be able to review, and I don't want to see what I look like. I don't want to see what I sound like. I don't want to be here today.
Right.
You know?
Right. But at the same time, you said that if they hadn't subpoenaed you, you would be.
I would.
Okay. So...
like, I'm trying to not be... go ahead. Sorry. Yep.
I know. You've answered, and
yep.
You do talk a lot, right?
Sorry.
No, I'm asking now. You have a tendency to talk a lot, right?
Objection, Judge.
Overruled.
I mean, do I talk a lot?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you, like, I converse. I usually am talking to somebody, so...
Let's talk about how long you...
I'll try and keep them short and sweet.
we only answer the question,
yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
You knew Adam, let's see, when, you recall when Kimmy talked about stolen guns, right? Do you remember the time period?
Yes.
When?
Do I remember the time period of when it happened?
No.
I just know that we were all at my house. It was the same time in my life, yeah.
Okay. So you don't know when it happened, but you do recall it happening and Kimmy talking about stolen guns.
I know that Kimmy said that Ish and Manny had taken her car and Adam had come over.
Okay. But you told the police before that Kimmy came over at first was saying Ish and Manny stole the guns.
She called and said that they took her car. And I said, I know that when I got talked to Kimmy first, she said, because she knew kind of we all hung out together. And She said, ish, and Manny wouldn't give her her car back.
And I think that you said that that is actually when you first really met Kim, right?
Yeah.
And you kind of helped her out there.
Right? Yeah.
But she said, you know, if you let them know their, that you know their last names,
yeah,
they'll bring it back, right?
Yeah.
Because you knew their names,
yes,
right? And Ish had actually been a friend of yours for many years.
I mean, he was like a friend of mine. Like, then I would have said yes, but now he was the guy who I got drugs from. You know, that's how I met him. That's the only way I knew him, you know. So I wasn't a good friend to other people I gave drugs to, so I wouldn't call him my friend.
I thought you knew him even before that. No?
No, I met him always drugs.
Okay.
You know, we hung out and we did things like watch football and did drugs together. We walked and talked and did drugs together. Like, Ish is a good person too. Everybody's a good person. I'm just saying that, like, you're not a, you know, now knowing what I know, I'm not a good person for like giving him drugs while we were hanging out, you know.
Okay. In any event, you knew Ish for a few years.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
And Ish would come over to your house.
Yes.
And
both
I
ways.
Think you were just saying
both
that,
ways. Yeah.
Pardon?
Both. I went to his house too. Yeah.
Okay, you'd go to his house, he'd go to your house. Is that right?
Yes.
People would pop in at your house all the time.
Yes.
And at one point, Kimmy had called you, even though you didn't know her, to get some help getting her car back from Ish and Manny.
Yeah. I had, you know, Matt, and they worked with Matt and Alana, I believe it was, at Dunkin' Donuts. And, like, Matt and Alana were at my house all the time, too. So, like, they were getting phone calls from her.
Okay. So, you do kind of help her out, and after that, she starts hanging out at your place along with the others, right?
Yes.
And you said before that Kim had come over and accused Ish and Manny of having stolen her guns.
Yes.
Right? And then you turned around and you wanted to be nice to Kim, so you went and had a conversation with Ish. Right?
Yes.
And based on that. So, after you helping her with getting her car back, she started coming over to your place, right?
Yes.
And one time she came over to your place and said that Ish and Manny had stolen her gun.
Yes.
And when she told you that, you went and talked to Ish.
Yes.
And based on that conversation with Ish, you went and talked to Kim.
Yes.
And Kim no longer accused Ish.
No.
After that.
No.
But she accused everybody else, right?
She just said that they hadn't taken it, that was part of like their deal that weekend to get more drugs and they were to use the car, and then, like, you know, it was just a deal she had made.
Okay. So before I ask more about some of the things that you said before, let's talk about the various times that you've talked to law enforcement and prosecutors about
okay.
this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the state talked about an interview with police January of 2020, right?
Right. I don't remember it, like the date, but I did, yes.
Okay. And you said yes when he was asking you about that, right?
Yes.
And this was a time that you were driving and were pulled over, right?
Yes.
And you could have gotten in criminal trouble for...
I did get in trouble.
Okay. And one of the things was that you weren't allowed to drive, right?
I got in trouble for driving without a license.
Weren't you a habitual offender?
I don't know. I know that had been like my third, fourth time driving without a license, so.
Okay, so you don't recall if it was the big one?
I don't know. From that, I had got told to go to rehab for a month and it would go away.
Okay. So let's talk about that. The other thing that was that there were drugs in the car, right?
Yes.
And so you talked to the police, right? And this is, you were pretty scared when you talked to the police, right?
No, I wasn't comfortable, that's for sure.
Because they actually threatened you to take your kids away, right?
They told me they would, yes. They said...
Pardon?
Yes.
They said that we'll call DCYS and we'll take your kids away.
They told me they were going to. They said it was done. They were like, you know, let me know what's up, because they're like, you've lost your kids. You've lost your kids. And then, you know... They kept saying, like, you lost your kids. And then when we get in the room, they were like, you know, listen, we can take your kids away. We can take your kids away, you know. And I just thought it was a little much.
Okay. And so they wanted you to give something to not, so that you could get out of trouble.
They wanted to know, if you look at that, I had a small amount of drugs on my side driving, right? And the person in the passenger seat threw a large amount of drugs in the car. They wanted to know whose drugs those were.
Okay. That's Todd Bernatchez that was in the car with you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Me either.
Close. And they wanted to talk to you about things that you knew in your community that you could give them, and in exchange, you understood that you could go to rehab and your troubles would be behind.
No, when I went to go to court that day, my lawyer actually said, Mike, you don't have to agree to anything. I can go talk to the prosecutor, and he just said that you can go to, I worked it up where you can go to rehab for a month. So there was no, like, no agreement to anything, you know? Just like with here, like, after I had given them the information, why I said I would show up without no subpoena is... Because I said something after.
Let's go back to the 20th, to 2020.
Okay.
So you actually gave them information about someone else that caused you to leave town, right?
No, I didn't leave town. I didn't want to stay in town and go to rehab, because the rehab was in town.
So you gave information and then got worried that the person that you gave information on would read it in their discovery and know that you had given the information, so you kind of went in hiding.
Yeah, well, no, just like in my, all our circle of friends all came to my house every day. So eventually, like in his discovery, he would see that, and then everybody at the house would ask me about it. I wasn't, you know, I mean, I did what I did, so... You know, I wasn't going to sit there and say no, but at the same time, I didn't want everybody at my house to, you know, and at that time I was doing drugs, so I didn't want, like, my drug world to fall apart.
Okay. So you were not afraid of that other person that you had given information on?
Oh, no, I was worried about it. I was definitely worried about it, you know.
All right. And other information that you gave, because... You sort of gave a whole lot of stuff, right?
No, I told them about that one thing, and I told them about things that, like I said, I'm not trying to, like, sit on, like, a high horse, but I told them about things I wanted to tell them anyway.
Okay.
So they didn't, like, make me tell them anything. Like, I gave them that information, you know? Yeah, about the stuff in the car that I didn't know whose it was. So I couldn't say, because I didn't see what had happened. Two people were saying two different things about what happened in the car.
Okay. So one of the bits of information that you did give him on the 20th was about the Fran guns, right?
I don't know if that was on the 20th, but I did end up giving him that, yeah.
It was shortly after you were pulled over with the drugs in the car, right?
I'm not sure if it was then or when they got me on the warrant. Like when they came and got me at the house.
Okay. Well, back on the 20th, you gave information that Ish, Manny, and Adam, but you said that Ish and, first of all, you let the police know that you had information on stolen drugs from Kim and Chris Frayne's house.
No.
You didn't tell them that.
No. I didn't. I don't know anything about stolen drugs.
Did I say drugs or guns?
Drugs.
My mistake. So, you gave police information about that you said you could give information about stolen guns from Chris and Kim Frayne's house.
Yes.
And you told them where Kim and Chris Frayne lived at the time that their guns were taken, right?
I assume so.
And you told them that Ish, Manny, and then you said, and Adam stole the guns.
I don't know if that's what I said. I don't know. I did tell them about it, so I don't know what I said. Like I said, I haven't reviewed or looked at anything I said. I will.
And you told the police that, and the prosecutor asked you, that you actually held the guns, right?
I don't know. I don't remember saying that.
Okay. And you also told them that you held them at Adam's house.
I never saw it at Adam's house.
And you also told them when they asked where you got the information about what happened to the guns, you said you got it from Ish. You remember that?
I don't remember any of it. So if you want to, like, I'll go over my thing with you if you want, but I don't recall any of that.
Okay. So we'll go over some other things as well, and I said that I was going to set the stage. There was a conversation with the police back in January-ish of 2020, and then in March of 2022, you understood that the police wanted to talk to you.
Yes.
You had spoken to your wife and you understood the police wanted to talk to you.
Yes.
And at that time, you were in Manchester.
No.
When you got the call from your wife.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Russell.
No. I wasn't in Manchester. I was en route. So I guess, I mean, I when I first talked to her, I was driving there. And then when I got there, we talked more about it. So, yeah.
Okay. Staying at Beach Street?
Beach Hill, yes.
Beach Hill.
I was picking up my son.
Huh?
I was picking up my son.
Okay. So, the next, after you understood from your wife that the police wanted to talk to you, the police showed up in the morning to arrest you, right?
They said, just have Mike come down. So I spent the night. Instead of leaving my son, I spent the night at Mike's house. And then I was supposed to go in the morning, but it was probably like, I don't know, really early in the morning, and all of a sudden it was like in the movies where like people were rappelled down on ropes and like jumped, you know, like everybody came in and they, you know, it was the U.S. Marshals.
Okay. Bunch of police.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of a scary situation, right?
Yeah, it was too much.
And that was in March of 2022. That right?
I don't know. I believe you.
Okay, I'm gonna give you a copy of a transcript of that interview to see if the date might refresh your recollection, okay?
Okay.
So this is an interview with Michael Sullivan. That would be you?
March 31st, 2022.
Okay. Does that sound right?
Yes.
And they came, they arrested you, they brought you to the police department.
Mm-hmm.
And the arrest was for a fugitive from justice, right?
It was for the same charge, but when I didn't go to rehab.
It was for a fugitive from justice for not going to court when you were supposed to on the charge.
For not going to rehab. I got a fugitive adjustment for not going. If I had gone to rehab, that would have all gone away. I never went to rehab. They issued that warrant, and they came and got me.
So are you saying you didn't miss court on that?
I didn't go to the rehab that I was supposed to go to after that. That's what I was saying.
So supposed to go to court on those charges after that, right?
No, my lawyer had made it so that if I went to rehab, then those would go away.
Okay. Well, that was the drug charge from January of 2020, right?
I believe so.
You had an outstanding warrant at the time that you were arrested in January of 2020 for September 2019.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, you had a felony drug charge, right?
I don't think I had a felony drug charge. Maybe. Yes, I assume that, yes, you know. I don't know what my charges were. I know that right... And my lawyer came to me and said, hey, I talked to the prosecutor. I'm like, go to rehab. When you leave this courthouse, go to rehab right now. From here, go there. And I walked out and went home.
Okay. So you didn't do what your lawyer told you to, so those charges were still there.
Yeah.
And you still had your earlier charges from September of 2019.
I don't know if that was part of, like, I assumed that was part of that, because I thought all my stuff was done if I had gone that day. I don't know.
So you didn't go that day, so there's no reason
to do that. I went and did drugs.
And there were more court hearings that you didn't go to?
No, after that, they got me. After that, they came in, like G.I. Joe, through the windows and stuff. Like, they came in and grabbed me and scooped me up and brought me to the...
2 years later, right? In March of 2022.
Yeah, well, they had come out to my house to talk to me about... the thing that we can't talk about, right?
Your wife called and said that they were looking for you, right?
But they came up and said they wanted to talk to me about something. Don't worry, you're not in trouble.
Okay. And that was at your wife's place in Mass, right?
Yes.
But you were here in Manchester.
And I said, yeah. And I'm like, all right. So my wife was like, hey, Mike, it's okay. And I said, I'll go in the morning. And literally that morning they all came and got me on a fugitive of justice because I didn't do the rehab. That's what I thought.
Okay. And so you got the fugitive from justice charge arrest, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then you gave the police another statement, and that was the March 31st, 2022 that I just told you, showed you, right?
The statement about the thing that...
guns and anything else that they wanted to ask you, right? You talked about the guns with them. Oh, sorry. Is there more?
Go ahead. We'll fix that. We'll fix that at the lunch break, Attorney Smith.
Okay.
Okay. So you can proceed.
So they wanted to talk to you about an investigation regarding Adam Montgomery, right?
Yes.
And you talked to them about the guns. That discussion.
I talked to them about that. They wanted to know, like, all the history, and then about the thing, and then, like, I talked about everything I knew about Adam.
Right. And you talked to them about the guns.
Yes.
And then about a year later, we had a deposition. Right?
Yes.
Do you remember what a deposition is? I started asking you questions and you were under oath,
yep.
Right? And that was just a couple of months ago, right?
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago.
And after the deposition, you met with the state to prepare for this.
Oh, yes, I did, yes.
Okay. And where was that? Was that also in Keene?
Yep, Keene DOJ, I think. I don't know. It was a federal building.
But it was Keene?
Yes.
And and you met with them, and you didn't look at your prior stuff, but you talked about it, right?
I never looked at the DVDs you guys, yes.
Okay. So they asked you questions about some of the other things that you had said before, right?
Yes.
And they asked you questions about maybe some inconsistencies in things that you had said before, right?
Yes.
Okay. How long did you talk with them?
Maybe like about 45 minutes, maybe.
Okay. And you said DOJ and you said Keene. Did you ever come to Concord to talk to them?
No.
Okay. But you, at some point you sat down to prepare for this trial?
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk about how long you knew Adam. I think that you said, you got to know Adam after Kim was talking about the stolen guns, right?
I got to know Adam when he came over with Manny.
Okay. And that was after Kim had talked about the stolen guns.
I don't think so. That's the first time I had met him. And then I know that I had Alana and her boyfriend around. So it was like all the same group of friends.
Okay. Do you recall saying at the deposition you didn't really get to know Adam until after the guns were stolen?
Me and Adam honestly never really got to know each other that much at all. And okay. We did drugs together, and then we didn't do much else, you know, like, so.
So you knew Adam for maybe a little bit of time before the guns were stolen?
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of weeks?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
It might have been shorter, it might have been longer, I don't know.
Okay. And the last time that you saw Adam was around what you said was this sale of a gun in front of you, right?
Yes.
And you said that was...
The last time I saw him, he came over the house with Todd Burnett, Benitez. You didn't get it right either.
Pardon?
You didn't get the name right either. It's a tough one.
All right. Well, in any event, after Kim came over and accused Ish and Manny of stealing guns from her.
Yes.
She never said that again after you talked to Ish and Manny, right?
Right.
But all the same people were hanging around together, and she said she started accusing other people, right?
She started like that's what I'm saying. She floated out the way she told me is she floated out the camera thing because she was unsure. So she acted like she knew. So like she didn't know. You know, she didn't know if they did or didn't. She was acting like it.
Okay. I think you talked at the deposition about Kim talking about things in front of people at your house, right?
Yes.
And that she said something about the video, and it was sort of she and Adam were joking back and forth about it.
Yeah, they both laughed about it, you know.
Okay. And you said almost every time that they were together at your house, she would say something about the video and they would joke about it.
Yes.
And that Adam had said if you had a video, there would be an arrest.
Yes.
And that was kind of true, right? If Kim's got a video of who took her guns. And so that was a conversation that was going around in the house for a long time, right?
No, that was the conversation me and him had in the car when he said, I know she don't have cameras, Mike, because I'd be in jail right now.
The joking back and forth.
That was in the house, yes.
Okay, and that was about her accusation that was sometimes Adam, sometimes somebody else, right?
She thought Adam did it, and then, like...
She actually told you Ish and Manny had done it.
The handguns, she said that they had... She first told me that the handguns, they had taken them. And then later I had found out she made a deal when they were using the car about the handguns, and they never got stolen from her. That the handguns were, like, part of her deal to let them use the car and all that.
Well, actually... You had learned that Ish and Manny had traded the guns for drugs with her, right?
Yeah, like that. The car and drugs, yes.
And it was the 380 and the shotgun, you said?
Sustained.
Okay. More than one gun, right?
I believe so.
Okay. And that was something you learned from Manny.
From Ish and Manny, and like all of this was like everybody kind of knew you know, I had a bunch of people in my house. Eventually, everybody knew what happened, you know.
Okay. So, you said that in those conversations in the house, it was kind of comical, Kim saying she had a camera in the house. Right?
Yes.
And then you said at some point, so this is more than one conversation around a group of people, right?
Yes.
And then you say today that you have a drive over to Adam's, and you and Adam talk about the video, right?
Well, we talk about Kimmy just saying downstairs that she had had a, you know, that she had, like, I got it all on camera and blah, blah, blah. And then when we left and we're on the way over to his house, he was laughing like, I know she don't have cameras, you know?
Like he had been laughing all those other times when she was saying she had a camera of whoever did it, right?
Yes.
And she never said she had a camera of Adam, right? A video of Adam, right?
That's what she was saying. She was saying, like, that she had got somebody on the side of the house or something running, you know. I don't know. She was just, like, trying to, like, fish out a confession, I think.
From the people that were there in the place.
Yes.
Right? But you had already talked to her about what Ish had told you that... Nothing was stolen, he had traded.
That's right.
Okay. And let's talk about so I'm gonna ask you some questions about your deposition.
Okay.
And you were given a copy of the deposition, but you didn't read it, right?
No, I was given a DVD. Oh, yeah, he did give me a copy at the end. Yeah, I didn't read it.
Okay, so the DVD was before you did the deposition, and you didn't watch that?
Nope.
And the deposition you got before prepping with the state for the trial?
No, I got it at the end of that.
Okay.
It's the last thing I was handed before I left.
I see. You have not received or reviewed the transcript prior to talking to the state. Okay. And so they gave it to you to take home with you?
Yes, ma'am.
And did you read it?
Nope.
Okay. So I'm going to have some questions on the deposition. Now, we talked and you said that you were arrested on a fugitive from justice charge for failing to go to rehab, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So, I'm going to show you page 12. Thank you. And you're okay with reading in front of a bunch of people?
Sure.
Can that happen? Okay, I'm going to ask you to read the maybe to the bottom of the page, and I'm going to turn to the next page when you're done.
Start at the top?
No, from the middle here.
In the middle.
That'll do.
And you didn't go to the...
Nope, nope, I'm sorry. I did mean to yourself.
Oh, okay, sorry. Right.
Okay.
Okay.
And I asked you questions about going to rehab and asked if you didn't appear, the case would not be resolved, right?
Yeah, right.
And... then I asked you, was it a fugitive from justice charge? And you said yes, right?
Yes.
And the police were looking for you because you didn't appear at the rehab or the court date, right?
I didn't appear at the rehab, or I said yes.
Or the court date, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then you said that, well, after that statement, on August 9 of 2022, your case was dropped, right?
Yes.
And you had told, when you had to appear for that court case after they arrested you that day, right?
Yeah, I had to go back for the rehab. I didn't go to that same charge when I went in. Right before we got in, that's when I said to them, I said, hey, man, like, I just want to leave Manchester to be done with it. Like, I've tried to help you guys as much as I can. I told that to the prosecutor, not to anybody that I had talked to prior to then.
Right.
And he said, if that's what, let me check if that's what you did, and then I'll just let it go.
So the police said that when you were there, that they would take your cooperation in consideration and talk to the prosecutor, right?
Yes.
And then when you went to court, you told the prosecutor, hey, I cooperated, talk to the Manchester police, they'll tell you, right?
Yeah, they said they'd help me and put me in jail for 5 days, and then I told the prosecutor when I went in, you know, like, they were like, oh, you know, we'll try, and the police were like, we'll take it into consideration, you know, and then they didn't, and then I was the first time I had to stay in jail for 5 days.
Well, actually, they told you that they couldn't guarantee.
Objection, Judge. This is hearsay.
So at that time with the police, they actually told you that.
Objection.
I'm sorry.
Sustained.
I'm sorry. You actually knew that you were going back to Valley Street, right?
No. At first, they were like, they had me stay actually at the police station, you know, and then they were said they were going to be back in the morning. And then when I got up in the morning, they weren't there. And then somebody else on shift said, we're bringing you to Valley.
Sustained.
You understood that you had to go back to court before you could be released.
Overruled.
You understood you had to go to court before you could be released, right?
They were going to try and make it so that, you know, I could get the...
Objection, Your Honor.
Sustained.
You understood that you would go to...
They were going to, they told me they were going to try and get the bail.
Sustained.
Okay.
Just listen to the question.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So you understood that you would not be released until after you went to court, right?
When I had stayed that night, they said they were going to let me try and see the...
Same objection, Judge.
Court.
Sustained.
The bailiff to be bailed out, so I wasn't going to go there.
Now, you were arrested on a fugitive from justice charge, right?
Overruled.
A failure to appear for your court hearings, right?
A failure to go to the rehab, yes.
And to court, as you just saw in your deposition before, right?
I had got told to go to a rehab, and then I had gotten arrested for possession like three other times, and I've never been in jail, so they had kept giving me deals. And then finally they said, all right, if you go to jail, this is your last chance, Mike. I didn't go, and then I knew I had a warrant for my arrest.
Okay. So, you went to court after the weekend was done, right?
Objection, Your Honor, relevance.
Overruled.
I think it was on like a Wednesday. I ended up staying from like Friday to like Tuesday or Wednesday.
And you talked to the prosecutor and you said, I've cooperated with the police. These charges should go away, right?
Yes.
And
I said, I tried to help you guys. I want to be done with this because it was, and because they're about to talk. And then when he said, I said, look, I've tried to help with big thing, like big deal things, not like, you know, I had a possession charge and I was like, these were things that like, and he said, if I can verify that all this stuff you told him was true, then I'll let you go.
Okay, and the charge.
So they pended it.
Huh?
So then he pended it and said, I'll send you.
Sorry, I'm going to stop you for a minute. There's been a lot of objections. I just want to be clear about something. You can answer the question as to what you knew, you thought, and you did.
Okay.
Do not say what someone else told you, okay? So, I just want you to listen to the questions and just say what you thought, what you knew, what you...
What if it's something that I thought that after someone told me something?
Then the counsel will stop you or ask you a different question, okay?
Yep.
The idea is that you cannot say what other people told you, okay?
Yep.
There are a few exceptions to that rule. If one of those exceptions comes up, the lawyer will let you know.
Okay.
Otherwise, please don't share what other people said, okay?
Okay.
All right, go ahead.
So on August 9, 2022, your felony charge of possession of a controlled drug subsequent was dropped.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about timing. After Kim came to your place to talk about stolen guns the first time, okay? Before you talked to Ish and Manny about what she had said. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
I know you don't understand the date, but from that time period, you gave a description of something that happened with Adam and a gun, right? Seeing Adam mentioned something about a gun in his house.
No.
You said that you were at the house and Adam said that the AR was in there pointing to a different room at the house.
Right after we had left my house, when we were in the car, going to his house, when they had the camera conversation, then we were going over to his house. After he had said that, that's when we get to the house. I meet his girl. They get high. He says, oh, it's back here because she's telling me how much. We're talking about everything that had just happened.
When was that in relationship to when Kim came over and said Ish and Manny had stolen the guns and you went and talked to Ish and Manny?
Oh, I'm not sure. That was like, I had heard, you know, like, I heard she was saying that they had got stolen and I had talked to them and I was like, she's not being truthful about what happened, you know?
The way that it happened. It wasn't stealing.
Yes.
It was
yes.
Trading and it was more than one gun.
Yes.
And how long after those conversations were you at Adam's house when you say he pointed at a room and said the AR-15 was in that room?
I'm not sure. It was when they were downstairs bickering and laughing at, like, because she was trying to say that the camera was there, and then...
I'm talking about the day...
Me too.
Okay, that she came in and said Ish and Manny stole the guns. From that day, are you at Adam's house?
At Adam's house, to the time that he said it's in the back room?
Uh-huh.
The same day that we were downstairs and she said the camera thing to him, and then we were on our way to his house.
About the day that she came in and said Ish and Manny stole her guns. Got that day? Is that a different day
yes.
than when you went to Adams?
Yes.
And how long was the day that she, how far apart was the day that she said, Ish and Manny stole my guns, and that you went to Adams' house?
I'm not sure. It was just a topic of conversation, you know, that like around that time.
Do you know if it was days or weeks or hours?
If I set a time, I think I would, you know, that wouldn't be right. I'm guessing pretty close to, you know, I don't want to say pretty close to because I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. But it wasn't the same day?
No.
Probably not the same, the day after?
Probably not. Okay. Maybe that week. I don't know.
Maybe a week or so?
Maybe, yeah.
Okay. And from the time that you say that Adam pointed to a room and said the AR-15 is there, how long after that did you say that Adam came to your house with a gun or with two guns?
I don't think it was too long because I didn't have anything at that time and they didn't have anything that day. And it was like kind of like, you know, he was trying to help me out.
So are we talking maybe a week after the first time that you went to Adam's house?
Yeah, I'm guessing somewhere in there, yeah, probably.
Does that sound about right?
Sure, sure.
Not a long period of time, but not immediate.
Sure.
Okay. And so this might be a week or two after Kim first said that Adam, that Ish and Manny stole the guns. A week later, you might be at Adam's house and he points to that room is where the AR-15 is, and then maybe a week later until you say that Adam came to your place with an AR-15 and a shotgun.
I think the best way to put it is like it was all around the same time. I can't say like, you know, I can't say like a day, 7 days, 14, it was around the same time. Okay. All of it was happening.
Not the same day.
Not the same day.
All right. When you testified today, you said that you saw an AR-15 come to your house.
Yeah, I saw an assault rifle that looks, I don't know, like, I can't say that it's an AR-15 or a AK or, I don't know anything about that stuff.
Yes?
Exhibit 33. I'm not going to have you hold it or anything, but can you see what's inside of that box?
Yeah.
What is it?
An assault rifle, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does this look like what you say that Adam brought to your place?
Yeah, like I saw the barrel and then the stock.
Pardon?
Like the barrel and the stock, there was a sheet over like the middle of it.
Was this the one that you said was loaded with bullets?
What? Okay. No, the shotgun had bullets on the side of it.
so it's not. It was another gun that you said.
I don't think the shotgun was loaded either. It had that. The shotgun I saw had bullets on the side. There was like, you know, where you hold the ammo on it.
So it sounds like you got a pretty good look at the assault rifle that you say that Adam brought over and the shotgun that you say Adam brought over.
A pretty good look with a sheet on it. And then I was in the back and it was dark, so they handed it. I mean, I guess, I don't know, like, I didn't hold it.
Pardon?
I didn't hold it. I didn't really see the whole thing in like he got it out of the trunk, was walking up to my steps, and he had it, and there was a sheet over the middle of it. So I saw the barrel and the stock.
Okay. So I think I heard you say that you didn't hold it, right?
Right.
And on direct examination, when the prosecutor was asking about your January 2020 statement that after you had gotten pulled over that time, he asked if you said that you held the guns, and you said that you could
have. I could have held the shotgun. The AR, I know I didn't.
Okay. So, you described Adam, as you say, coming over to try and sell a gun, and you're saying that he tried to sell it to you.
I'm saying Adam came over all the time, and we would get, you know, like, we were drug friends, I guess, if that's what you want to call it. It wasn't like he only showed up, you know, as like an arms dealer.
Okay. Adam showed up, and you said that he had a gun, right?
Yes.
And he was wondering if you were interested in buying this gun.
He, that day when he came over, he was like, as he was getting it out, he was trying to see if I wanted it, and I had nothing. And he was like, don't worry, I can get rid of it, and I'll get us something.
Did you say something? Okay. So let's get this situation set up. You say he comes over, you don't have any, you're kind of dope sick. And he comes out, and it's pretty apparent, I think, that you said on direct.
Yes.
It's just sort of out there, and he's walking up the
driveway.
Right?
Yes.
And you said, no, get that out of here.
Yes.
And so he went, and he got in the car, and where did he go?
No, he put it back in the trunk. And then we were sitting there, and came up, and when we were talking, I was like, man, I don't have shit either. Like, I, you know, and he was like, I can get rid of it, and I'll get us some.
And where'd he go?
He stayed at my house, and the person was coming over, and I said, don't do it in my driveway. He moved his vehicle to the parking lot, to the left of my house.
Uh-huh.
The person came over. I got in the back. He was in the front. Handed him the gun, he gave money and drugs, and I took some of the drugs.
Okay. So you are saying that he just sort of moved over a little bit, but put you in the car with the drugs so that you would have with the guns in the trunk, so that you would have quick access to the drugs when he sold the gun.
What? Say that again, please.
The parking lot was within walking distance, right?
We got in the car, I got in the back seat. They were in the front. The person was in the driver. He was in the passenger seat. He had the gun. He handed him the stuff. Adam gave me the stuff in the back seat. I did drugs right there. And then we got out.
Okay. So you had Adam move from your driveway and move to a parking space that was within walking distance.
It was probably from here to maybe the last person in the row.
Okay. And...
a big parking lot that was a bar.
Said somebody came. Oh, you're in the back seat, and somebody comes over.
It wasn't. So I knew. I recognized who it was too.
Okay, and it was somebody that you told police you had seen before, in a complex with a brick building.
I had money, and I wanted to get drugs, and I couldn't get it. Adam had it. He's like, I have a guy I always go to if I'm not talking to you or someone at your house. I said, awesome. We went over there. It was a brick building. There was those fences that's like wood, and there's knots in the end. There's holes and like knots in the end of each fence. And we got drugs.
Okay. You told police that you did... know the guy from a prior drug exchange.
From that time. I recognize the vehicle from that time and the person from that time.
And that you could take the police probably to the place that drug exchange had happened, right?
I knew it was really close to his house because we hadn't like, you know, it was in the same vicinity of his house, so I assumed I could find it.
So you told the police, you knew where it was, right?
I told him I think I could find it.
Okay. And the police actually took you on a ride-along after your interview with them in 2022, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you could not locate the building where you said this exchange happened, right?
No.
And they asked you if you knew the guy and could you go identify him with a picture, and you said...
Basis?
No foundation.
Did they ask you
Overruled, go ahead.
Did they ask you if you could identify the guy with a picture?
I said no. I couldn't. I only knew that, no, I said no.
Told the police about if they showed you a picture, and if you don't remember, then I'll
read it.
Okay. So they asked if you found a picture. If they found a picture of the guy, do you think you could identify him? And you said, I mean, unless it would be like if I looked at it. And the officer asked if it refreshed your memory or something like that. You said, yeah, other than that. So maybe a picture could have refreshed your memory, right?
I never seen him before. I knew what his race was and the color of the car. That's how I knew him. I knew nothing else about him. I knew the car. I knew, I recognized the car and the what race he was.
And you told them that you saw him close up, right?
I was sitting in the passenger side. Adam was in the driver's side. And it was like this. He was in the front driver's side, and Adam was in his driver's side.
Okay, but you told them that you saw him pretty close up, right?
Yeah, our cars are next to each other, and they did it through the window, so a couple, few feet.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's just about 12:30, so we're going to go ahead and take our lunch break. So, a reminder, don't talk about the case, don't do any independent research, not with each other or with anybody else. And I'll have you come back at 1:30 and we will resume testimony. Mr. Sullivan, I'm going to ask you to just stay put for a moment while we release the jurors. All rise for the jury, please.
Do I have to stay all day, too?
You can stand, yes. But just
no, do I stay all day?
That wraps up segment number two. There's more to come. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our coverage of the trial of Adam Montgomery. Tony Bruschi, stay with us.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players' $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.